from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth joined by Adam Vingan of The Athletic in studio this evening as we continue the conversation about this Predators team. In the first round against the Dallas Stars, the series tied 2-2. Game 5 is tomorrow. Pre-game at 1, puck drop at 2 in Bridgestone Arena. Should be a lot of fun. Big, big game, Adam, between the Preds and the Stars. As we always hear the stats this time of the playoffs, when teams are tied 2-2 in a playoff series, the winner of Game 5... historically in the National Hockey League, the winner of Game 5 in series that are tied 2-2 goes on to win a series nearly 79% of the time. Just to kind of paint a picture as to how important tomorrow night's or tomorrow afternoon's game is between the Preds and Stars.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say I'm very glad that it's a 2 o'clock start tomorrow. We all win in that regard. Regardless of the outcome of Game 5, the fact that the game starts at 2 is a victory for all of us. So, as we look at this series specifically, here we are at 2-2. You could very well argue that this series should be 3-1 Dallas. If Pekka doesn't make that save on Jamie Benn in Game 3 and the Stars score there and they win that game, the Predators are facing elimination tomorrow.
If that happens, do the Preds come out differently in Game 4?
Potentially. Now we're just trying to rewrite history.
Now we're just dealing with hypotheticals.
Yes. But potentially, this series could be 3-1 Dallas. And
absolutely.
If you listen to Jim Montgomery, head coach of the Dallas Stars, they certainly deserve what they've received so far. You know, he said after Game 3 that he thought that the Stars had been the better team through two of the three games, and I think it would be hard to argue with him in that regard, and they were clearly the better team in Game 4. So the Predators have their work cut out for them. This Stars team, we never thought they were going to roll past the Stars. We always expected this to be a competitive series, and as I told you, I thought it was going to take a lot of the script from the first-round series last year against Colorado. And it kind of has in one degree. I mean, the Predators took a 2-1 series lead that really wasn't that solidified. It was a very tenuous 2-1 lead. And then they get their butts kicked in Game 4, much like last year where they had a 2-0 lead on Colorado, a very tenuous 2-0 lead, and get their butts kicked in Game 3. So, you know, I expect, and we'll talk about this later in the show, the Predators have shown an ability, a knack over the past couple of years under Peter Laviolette to put rough games behind them, especially in the playoffs, and come back and play inspired hockey. So my gut tells me we won't see anything different from that regard tomorrow. I expect them to have a much better game. But with how the Stars are playing, if they're able to get 3-2 and go back to Dallas with a chance to eliminate the Predators, you know, that's going to be really difficult.
I think one thing that has been troubling through four games is that I think we can say that we know what to expect out of the Stars from period to period, but that we don't know what to expect out of the Preds from period to period. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what we talked about all season. When the Predators came back to win their last two regular season games against Vancouver and Chicago, they were down 2-0 in both games, came back, won both games, won the Central Division. We all believed, myself included, and perhaps yourself as well, that this team had quote-unquote flipped the switch. Now, you know, that's a pretty ambiguous term there, for lack of a better word there. But, you know, I thought maybe, hey, this team finally has its stuff together. And then they had a really good start to Game 1, and I thought, okay, it seems that the play at the end of the regular season has carried over. But since that moment, really, we're not seeing anything different from the Predators that we haven't seen all regular season. We shouldn't be surprised that this is what the Predators have shown us through four games, because they showed it to us through 60 games, 65 games. This team does not handle, this particular team has not handled prosperity well when it's had it this year, and the inconsistency has been rampant. So really, I'm not surprised by what we've seen in the sense that, you know, I think the last two games of the regular season, they did what they needed to do to win, but, you know, I don't think they were showing us the real Predators, the real 2018-19 Predators. I think they were showing us, you know, what might have been, and now they're playing the way that they've shown to play all year, which is an inconsistent group.
The other thing in the world of consistency, I don't think the Preds have consistently generated enough offense in this series. Even games one and two, and I heard your stat that you threw out there with Jared and the GM last hour, where you said that in games one and two, according to the point.
The point,
the
yes.
Point,
according
Great
to website,
the point,
by the way.
According to the point, the Preds generated 33
shots from the slot in
shots
games
from
one
the
and
slot,
two.
And then 10
total
for games three and four.
Yes. So five each in each game, by the way. Five each in each game.
And the overall pressure that they're putting on the Dallas defense has not nearly been what it should be.
No.
And that is, you know, I'll give Dallas their due. They are a good defensive team, and that has carried over into the playoffs. But the Preds have to make the proper adjustments to get into that slot area and get those chances, and they just haven't been able to do that consistently enough.
And I think what we've seen from the Stars in games three and four is what we expected of them based on their regular season. You know, the point also said that the Stars gave up an average of, I believe, 14 slot shots per game during the regular season, which was fourth best in the NHL. So this team has shown throughout the year to be incredibly good at shutting down that particular area. And when they do, Ben Bishop is there, for the most part, minus game three, to clean up whatever mess may be left by the defense in front of him. So it's up to the Predators to find different ways to get there, and perhaps the shift in forward lines that Peter Laviolette put out there at practice today may be his way of attempting to fix that problem.
So let's get into that. Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Let's give people an update on what those practice lines did look like today in their final, I guess, skate on the ice before tomorrow's matinee game for Game 5. Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmonds, who were announced as week-to-week on Monday, both practiced today. Before we go anywhere any further with the line combinations, would you say it's more likely that Boyle plays tomorrow than Wayne Simmonds?
Yes, I would. You know, first of all, it's perhaps miraculous that 4 days after being deemed week to week, they were on the ice practicing. And I asked Peter Laviolette this morning if it would be fair to say that those two are ahead of schedule. And while he didn't specifically answer that, you know, he told a story about he had his appendix out when he was younger and he was laid up for weeks. It's like it's the miracle of modern medicine that Brian Boyle is on the ice 4 days after undergoing an appendix-related procedure. Yes, based on what I saw, my gut tells me, which has an appendix still intact, by the way.
Wow. Well played.
Yes. that Brian Boyle is more likely to play tomorrow than Wayne Simmonds. But the fact that Wayne is on the ice after what we saw, and even Peter Laviolette said this, you know, he conceded today that when it first happened, he thought it would be a lot longer. But the fact that Wayne was able to go on the ice today is obviously an encouraging step. If they need to get further along in this playoffs to see him, but the fact that he was able to practice, I think, is obviously a good sign.
I was more surprised about the Simmonds factor than Boyle, too, because we've heard stories in the past with NHL players recovering quickly after an appendectomy. I mean, one story that I read today was that a Red Wings player, Jonathan Erickson, back in 2009, had an appendectomy and 3 days later was in the lineup for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. And for whatever reason, some of these athletes can heal a lot quicker than either one of us would if we had an appendectomy, Adam.
Yes.
So, not necessarily surprised Brian Boyle could be back that quickly. Now, the lines today at practice, the Joffe line was still intact at practice today. The second line, Mikael Granlund, Colton Sissons, Kalle Yarncroak. Third line, Austin Watson, Nick Bonino, Craig Smith. And the fourth line, Brian Boyle, Kyle Turris, and then a rotation of Freddie Gaudreau, Mika Salamaki, and Wayne Simmonds. Rocco Grimaldi was not on the ice for practice, Peter Laviolette called it a maintenance day.
Yes, and you look at those second and third lines specifically, very rarely have those combinations been used this season. I mean, I can tell you exactly how much they've been used. The Sissons-Granlund-Yarncroke connection at 5-on-5 during the regular season shared 6 minutes and 12 seconds of ice time through the entire regular season. The Watson-Bonino-Smith combination shared a grand total of 1 minute 7 seconds of ice time. So you're giving two lines there that have very rarely been together during the regular season. But first and foremost, that to me, and you can differ, Ryan, this to me is just a further indictment of Kyle Turris. You know, he was given we sat here I think it was with Jared and Floyd. I sat here near the end of the regular season. I think it was before the game in Buffalo when Granlund and Smith and Turris had one of their best games as a line, and I said I want to give Kyle Turris one more shot as a top six center on this team for this season, one more shot, and if he doesn't make the most of it and you want to send him to the bottom six for the rest of the regular season and playoffs, so be it. But I want him to have one more chance. And guess what? He had one more chance, and he blew it. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I said this about the power play, and this is going to maybe sound harsh, but I'm not – I don't want to say Kyle Turris is a lost cause this season, but he's given me no indication that he's not. At this point, he has shown no ability to be effective. In the situation that he's put in, especially as one of the most sheltered players in the National Hockey League in terms of the number of shifts he starts in the offensive zone. He should be a lot better than he is. I know he's had his injuries, and I know it hasn't been a great year for Kyle Turris specifically, but the fact that it appears that he's going to start on the fourth line in a game of tomorrow's magnitude speaks heavily, in my opinion, of where Kyle Turris stands in the pecking order on this team.
I would agree. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, we will try our best to answer a question that I know a lot of people in this city are asking in the last couple days. We'll get to that next. He's Adam Finkin. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Preds Insiders, brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Ryan Porth alongside Adam Finkin of The Athletic, talking all things Pred Stars leading up to Game 5 tomorrow. We will have coverage starting at 9 a.m. with Chase McCabe at Barrel House inside Bridgestone Arena. Then Justin Bradford and myself will have Preds Extra 11-1, and then the official pregame show at 1, puck drop at 2:20 tomorrow as it is on national NBC, Pred Stars Game 5. Adam, one question that I know a lot of fans and media and people who have been watching this team a lot, not only in this playoff series, but in the regular season as a whole. One question that has emerged out of Wednesday's game as kind of a pattern of different losses that we've seen this Preds team have throughout the season, including the playoffs, is this Predators team hungry? Do they have that hunger that they had 2 years ago? The playoff run that everybody reverts back to when talking about this Preds team and the potential that they have. Do you, Adam, feel like this team is hungry enough to go on another long run?
It's really hard to quantify that because, you know, how does one quantify hunger in this situation? I mean, every team...
Are their stomachs growling?
Well, maybe. Yeah. I'm not hungry. I'm personally not hungry right now.
I am getting hangry.
Well, we'll make sure that this show wraps up as quickly as we can so that we don't have to worry about that. But to go back to your point, it is hard to quantify that. And we in the media, fans in general, will, you know, label teams and players with these words that, again, are really hard to quantify. You know, I'm guilty of it too. I mean, what have I been talking about for the past month and a half? This team doesn't have it. Well, what is it, right? I mean... In my mind, it's, you know, this sort of, when I think about it with the Nashville Predators or hunger with the Nashville Predators, I think back to last season, maybe the playoffs before, where no matter the situation, this team never felt out of a game. How many times did we see last year and in the Stanley Cup Finals season, you know, they got down in the game, a couple goals, you know, or a pivotal, you know, play went against them, and it didn't rattle them. You know, it was they would go down by multiple goals. I remember a couple of years ago, I think they went on a road trip to Western Canada, and I think in two or three games in a row, they went down by multiple goals.
That was last season.
That was last season. They went down by multiple goals and won every game.
It was Colorado, Edmonton, Vancouver, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. And you're not surprised by that because that team has shown, you know, it has a swagger to it, a cockiness to it. It doesn't matter the situation. We're still going to win this game. I haven't seen that this season from this team. I've seen a lot more slumped shoulders and iffy body language and all that stuff. So, you know, are they hungry? I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I just don't think I see, as I've said for the past month or so, that it factor from this group. That doesn't mean that they don't possess it somewhere deep inside of them and can yank it out, because we've seen it.
Well, we both felt that it factor that you speak of was there in those last two regular
yes.
season games where they did trail by two goals,
right,
2-0 both times, and they did come back to win both games to win the Central Division.
Yes. Regardless of the fact that there will be people, and I know there are people, because I see all of you Predators Twitter, there are people who will point out, yeah, well, they played two non-playoff teams. Yeah, but have you seen anything from the Predators, regardless of their opponent during the regular season, when they went down 2-0 to suggest that they were to come back? They were 1-19-2 before the Vancouver game this season when trailing 2-0 in the game. So I don't think it matters that they went down 2-0 in either of those games. But you're right. I did think that after they won those two games that maybe this team was on the right track. I don't want to go as far as to say that we've been hoodwinked by this Predators team, but certainly I don't think what we saw in those last two regular season games are what this team actually is.
Well, one thing that every playoff team needs every postseason is just more than skill. There needs to be a will to win almost at any cost at certain points in a postseason for a team to get all the way to the Stanley Cup final. It's more than just the players on the ice and the depth chart and things of that nature. And we witnessed that 2 years ago, that there was a will to win with that Preds team that got them to the Stanley Cup final. Minus Ryan Johansson, minus Mike Fisher, they had a will to win that Western Conference championship. And I don't know if we've seen the same will to win since 2017. Or at least since the start of the playoffs last year, for whatever reason. And it's really tough to put your finger on it.
And right, and no player is going to admit to that. If you were to ask a player a question like that, they would probably scoff at you.
Probably.
So it's really hard. It's a really hard thing to grasp. I don't think it's something that can be explicitly explained, if that makes any sense, which kind of ruins the point of having the conversation in the first place. but yet here we are. I think this is another another topic that we're going to discuss. You know, this team has shown, and my colleague John Glennon wrote a story about it on The Athletic today, that this particular group, Peter Laviolette era Predators team, when they get spanked, stomped, whatever you want to use to describe whatever the heck happened in Dallas the other night, they always seem to rise to the occasion and rebound. Do they always win the game? No, but they always play a better game. You know, you think about game 6 of the Stanley Cup final, the game they lost the Stanley Cup. They got waxed in Pittsburgh. Did they win game 6? No, but they played a very good game that game. We've seen it in Anaheim a couple of years ago. I think it was the year they beat Anaheim in the first round. They won the first two games on the road. They lost the next three. They went down. They came back to win game 6 and then go to Anaheim for game 7 and win their first ever game 7. So we've seen it. It's there. And that's why I have cautious optimism that this group is going to win tomorrow's game. Does that mean they're going to win the series? No. But I have cautious optimism that they are going to win tomorrow.
And this team has not lost back-to-back playoff games since games 5 and 6 of the Stanley Cup final.
Yes.
I mean, last year in the playoffs, whenever they lost, whenever they got knocked down, they would respond.
Right. After the first two wins against Colorado, they alternated losses and wins for the rest of the postseason.
Now, the issue with that is that after game 7, they didn't have a game 8.
I mean,
there was no game for them to respond to. That was just the end of their season.
Yes.
One player in particular has been really good about bouncing back, and that's Pekka Rinne. And coming into this season, coming into this postseason, Pekka was pulled 6 times in the last 3 playoff series, which is now 7 times in the last 4 after game 4, even though I don't put much of any blame, if any at all, on Pekka for what happened in game 4 in that first period before he got pulled.
I would agree with that.
So listen to the stat. Follow me here.
All right.
Of the 6 times Pekka was pulled in this window that we're talking about in the last 3 playoff series before this one, Pekka had an opportunity to respond in 5 of those games. The 6th was that game 7 in which he was pulled 10 minutes in against Winnipeg last year when there was no tomorrow. In the 5 opportunities that Pekka had to respond from getting pulled, Pekka Rinne was 4-1 with a 1.48 goals against average and a .954 save percentage.
Can't beat that. Well, you can once, but 4-1 with those numbers, that's great. And I agree. I mean, look, I listened to, I believe it was yesterday, I listened to Morning Drive. I heard Derek Mason, I don't know what that rant was, but about how Pekka Rinne should, you know, people, I'm of the mind that Pekka should bear no responsibility for what happened in game 4. Derek was diametrically opposed to that, saying that everyone should be blamed for it, including Pekka. But, you know, think about how good he had been in that series before that point. And when you put him in the situation that this team did on Wednesday, no goalie is going to survive that. So, you know, I am not going to lump this in the category of what a crappy game by Pekka Rinne. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stats don't look good, but I don't put it on him at all. But those numbers are hard to argue with, and I expect him to have a great game tomorrow. It goes back to the cautious optimism I previously expressed, that this group, for its faults over the years, has shown an ability to bounce back from bad games when given the opportunity, because there are no game 8s. So when there is an opportunity for them to redeem themselves, they more often than not do so. So that's why I believe that this team will win tomorrow. I'm not going to guarantee it, but in my heart of hearts, and I'm an incredible cynic. I mean, people who know me know that sometimes I view the negative before I view the positive.
Yes.
You're not supposed to agree to that. You're supposed to say, that's not true, Adam. Anyway, I do believe that this team will win tomorrow. I really do. I'm not going to say it's going to be a convincing win. They're not going to do to Dallas what Dallas did to them. But I do think that they are going to win tomorrow. I just feel that way.
Coming up next, we will hear Rick DiPietro, former NHL goalie who's now on the air in New York. He was asked about Pekka Rinne bouncing back from a game like Game 4. We will hear his response coming up next, plus some interesting comments from Dallas Stars head coach Jim Montgomery that have been getting a lot of run today on these airwaves. That's all coming up next. He's Adam Vinken of The Athletic. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.
It's the beauty of being a starting goalie, in my opinion, is that you have the luxury of having a night like that and knowing you have enough confidence from your head coach and your teammates that you can bounce back and have a really good night. And you said it. You had 2 veteran guys. You have Pekka Rinne, one of the best in the business. Ben Bishop had an unbelievable season. I would expect Pekka Rinne to bounce back in a big way, especially coming home. I mean, he's been there. He's got the playoff pedigree. So he'll shake it off. It's actually, to be completely honest with you guys, it's the hardest thing. It was the hardest thing for me was letting go of those games. But, I mean, these guys have been there. They've done that. I would expect Pekka to bounce back in a big way.
That was former NHL goaltender Rick DiPietro on with Darren and Donick yesterday. A fantastic conversation between Darren Willey and Rick DiPietro. If you want to go to thegamenational.com and listen to the full thing, I would certainly advise doing it. Rick DiPietro talking about Pekka Rinne bouncing back from a game like Game 4, in which, Adam, last segment you said you would put 0% of the blame of Game 4 on Pekka Rinne, and I would 100% agree with that statement. And just to kind of wrap up the conversation on how this team always has some – they always have the ability to bounce back from a game in which they completely laid an egg. And that is pretty impressive that they can do that and have amnesia like that, because there are a lot of teams out there who, granted, probably don't have the experience as a group that this Preds team has, that if they were to suffer a loss like that, they may not bounce back from that. They may just, you know, crawl into a hole and lose 3, 4, 5 in a row in the midst of a season after a loss like that. But this Preds team, we saw it a lot during the regular season where they would get blown out in Carolina. They responded with a blowout win against Washington two nights later. They have that ability to bounce back, and the two of us both expect them to do so tomorrow in some form or fashion.
Yeah. You know, you can go through the season. It's not a perfect exercise. There are games where they got their butts kicked and then the following game did not win. So it's not an exact science, but you know, I think back to the Stanley Cup final 2 years ago, they're down 2-0 in Pittsburgh. They come home, they win two big games and even the series. And, you know, you think about some of those games last year against Winnipeg, game 5, they get their butts kicked. They go to Winnipeg, and kick their butt and come back for game 7 when they get their butts kicked again. But they did the butt kicking before then. So it's a, anyway. So like I said earlier, I don't have much pause in saying that I'm confident in this team's ability to bounce back. I've watched this team incredibly closely for the last 4 years. I've been at almost every game of theirs for the last 4 years. I've seen this with my own four eyes because I wear glasses, for those who don't know. I've seen it all. And I, you know, while this team has been as frustrating as hell to watch, trust me, I know, this particular team, this year's team, I still think they have it within them to come back and play a really good game.
What was your impression of the locker room today after practice in relation to that?
Well, certainly, you know, we didn't get to talk to too many players today, but from what I heard and listened to, you know, they seemed focused. Not too much introspection happening. You know, I believe Craig Smith said something to the effect of, you know, we can't bog ourselves down with X's and O's. We just need to go out there and play. And I think Willie called it paralysis by analysis, which I think is a smart way of putting it. I'm sure there are going to be people who take that comment, which I'm paraphrasing, the X's and O's comments, and think, well, why aren't they getting back to X's and O's? That's exactly what they need to do. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, this team, it should be ingrained in this team how to play. And if they are able to tap into that, I think they'll be fine. I mean, again, winning tomorrow doesn't mean they're going to win this series.
The exact quote from Craig Smith, this is from Robbie Stanley on Twitter. The exact quote from Craig Smith is, quote, we've got to go out and have some fun and play some hockey here. Enough with the X's and O's, looking at different things, power play and special teams and all that. We've got to go out and play a game, end quote. Craig Smith.
So I had the essence
of Craig Smith.
And I'm sure there's somebody driving in their car right now angrily shaking their fist at what Craig Smith has to say. But, you know, I like that idea. I mean, I like that attitude. I mean, this team, you know, has it within them to play a really solid game. And I think tomorrow's game is going to play out much like games 1, 2, and 3. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be within one goal at all times. And I do believe that the Predators are going to win. I just think that I've seen enough from them after games like Wednesday to know that they're not going to lay an egg again.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Now, one clip out of Dallas today that has been getting some run on these airwaves was from Jim Montgomery, Dallas Stars head coach. Yesterday, he was on 96.7 The Ticket in Dallas, which is the Stars' flagship station, our rival in this playoff series. Jim Montgomery was asked about Roope Hintz and the Preds' defense, and this is what he had to say about Roope Hintz.
Well, I mean, you can see fear in their defenseman's eyes. Every time he gets on the ice, even off a faceoff, they're looking at him, and you can see whatever side of the ice he's on, they're backing up because they're like, there's no way I'm going to let him beat me to our net. But when they back up like that, that gives him the ability to cut in front of them and beat him through the middle of the ice. And he's just a big horse, you know. He's got incredible speed and power. And right now his confidence is sky high. And it's been like that for 6 weeks to 2 months.
Dallas Stars head coach on Roope Hintz, who has been really good this series for the Dallas Stars, had two goals in game four. But the thing that really stood out to everybody is how he opened that comment by saying, you can see fear in the Preds defenseman eyes when Roope Hintz is bearing down on them. How did you take that comment there, Adam?
I think it's just coach speak, really. Jim Montgomery has not been shy to share his candid thoughts about certain things in this series. Of course, I believe I mentioned it earlier that after game three, he said that we've been the better team two out of the three games. And I wouldn't disagree with him in that respect, but you know, having gotten to experience Jim Montgomery up close for the first time over the past week or so, you know, he certainly is a candid individual. I don't think the Predators defensemen are scared of Roope Hintz. He's been a very effective player in this series. He has quite the speed, and I think he's going to turn into a really productive player for the Stars for years to come. I believe he's a rookie. But you know, these guys have faced much more dangerous players than Roope Hintz. I'm not convinced that they're scared of Roope Hintz, but so I don't really make too much of it. I'm not reading too much into
either.
It.
I didn't either.
Do you hear that, Jared? Is Jared still listening? Hey, Jared, do you hear that? Don't make too much of it.
I didn't make too much of it. I mean, I look, he's doing a radio interview, and he might be trying to cater to his listening audience in Dallas. I have no idea. But for him to say they have fear in their eyes, that you can see the fear in the Preds defenseman, I mean, for me to agree with that, I would want to go back and look at every single zone entry that Roope Hintz has made in this series and actually look into the eyes of said defenseman, whether or not I agree with him.
I need Jim Montgomery to give me the number for his optometrist. if he can see that well. Damn, I could really use the help. I don't have great vision.
We would both agree that Roope Hintz has been one of the Stars' more effective players. Who do you think has been the Stars' most effective player in this series?
Well, Alexander Radulov has been quite good in this series, I feel like, which I'm sure pains Predators fans to hear, but I feel like he's been really effective at generating scoring chances. I believe Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn have done a solid job doing their respective jobs. Matt Zuccarello has been a really good secondary scoring outlet, for lack of a better term. You know, Hintz has been good. Heiskanen's been really good. You know, when you look at this series, the difference so far is that the Stars have emerged, mm-hmm. and the Predators' Stars have not. Who among the Predators players can we count on as a consistent player through most of this series? You know, Pekka Rinne. You know, I know game four was rough, but he's had a good series otherwise. I think PK Subban has been this team's best defenseman, which should not be coming as a surprise to those who have seen him throughout his career elevate his game in the playoffs. Rocco Grimaldi, excellent story coming in a tough situation and playing really well. That's it. You know, is that it?
So let's pause right there and ask the question after the break. Which of those Stars that you're speaking of the Nashville Predators that have not had a great series so far, need to improve their game the most here moving forward in what is now a best of three? And also, how do the Preds go about winning this best of three now in the first round between the Preds and the Stars? That's all coming up next. He's Adam Finken of The Athletic. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. What's up, Commissioner? You're also listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coverage tomorrow for Game 5 begins at 9 a.m. with the Chase McCabe Show. 11 o'clock, Preds Extra, myself and Justin Bradford. 1 o'clock, the official pregame show with Darren McFarland. And then 2:20 is official puck drop time for Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call. Game 5 series tied 2-2 between the Preds and Stars. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the stat from Thomas Willis, when a series is tied 2-2 in the Stanley Cup playoffs over the history of the playoffs, teams have gone on to win 79% of the series who has ever won Game 5. So, big game tomorrow, Preds and Stars. Before the break, Adam asked the question, which of the Preds Stars that may not have been playing well through the first four games of this series do you feel like needs to improve the most in this now best of three between the two teams.
How much time do we have left? 15 minutes? There's
the natural cynic in you that you talked about earlier in the show.
Mattias Ekholm, first and foremost. He's been a shell of himself in this series. Forget the penalties are what stand out, but he just has not been particularly steady, which is shocking because he's been steady for a very long time. I remember mid-season, we at the Professional Hockey Writers Association did these mid-season awards, which often were just, if the season ended today, who would win the Norris, who would win the Hart, et cetera, the actual NHL awards. But then we also created some of our own awards. And Mattias was the recipient of the Rod Langway Award, which was awarded to the best defensive defenseman. So, he's been steady all year. It just has not been the case in the playoffs, which is hard to believe.
And it's not just the discipline, in which he took two penalties at the start of game two, back-to-back, an interference, and then unsportsmanlike conduct for running his mouth. And then two penalties in the first period in game four, two separate penalties, both resulted in Stars power play goals. But his play on the ice also has not been great at all, or great either. Like, the turnover that he made in game two led to the Stars' only goal.
Right.
And Mattias Ekholm, I would put Ryan Ellis in that category as two defensemen that need to raise their game. For me, I would say the Jofa line. The Jofa line, while they did sustain some pressure in games one and two and get chances, they only have 2 points combined to show for it. And really,
they didn't really involve the Jofa line.
Right. Forsberg's goal, which was spectacular in itself, was off a lob pass from Nick Bonino.
Right.
Obviously not his center. And then Ryan Johansson got an assist on Roman Josi's third period goal of game four, which didn't really mean anything. So that line, I think, really needs to step up, while the depth scoring of this team has been pretty stagnant in this playoff series. I mean, when Rocco Grimaldi is your most consistent offensive force, I don't think you're going to win many playoff series with that. The Jofa line, for me, collectively, is the group that needs to step up the most here in this final best of three, games five and six, and if there's a game seven.
Yeah, I certainly think that is first and foremost what needs to happen. You look at their underlying numbers, they are decent. They have a significant advantage in shot attempts and scoring chances, but they're not converting them. And as we mentioned earlier, the Stars have done a really great job at protecting the slot, which is where that group can do a lot of its damage. So tomorrow's a big game for them, for that line in particular, because when you look up and down the rest of the lineup, you're not really getting much from anybody else forward-wise. I mean, Craig Smith did score an overtime goal, and you can always count on Craig Smith to be active in the offensive zone, but he only has one goal to show for it. Kyle Turris has been jettisoned potentially to the fourth line, which we talked about earlier. You're breaking up that Sissons-Bonino-Watson line. Very much deserved a lot of accolades for their play last year against Colorado, but since then they haven't really been that great. I feel like they kind of coasted on their reputation from that first round series, and that line has been broken up a little bit. So I'm curious to see what happens there. But even Peter Laviolette said this morning / afternoon that line has enough of a history, too much of a positive history, to consider taking them apart from each other. And they need to prove that right by doing something about it. So tomorrow is a big game for them, particularly.
So for you, how do the Predators go about winning this series, which is now a best of three?
Staying out of the penalty box, that might do it. I mean, the Predators have been, the slightly better team at 5-on-5 in this series. And that's what I expected. I expected the Predators to have, the better of the 5-on-5 play. And even with all of the scoring chances that the Stars compiled on Monday, the Predators still have the better expected goal numbers at 5-on-5. As long as this game can stay at 5-on-5, I like the Predators' chances. Now, we've seen the Stars' power play erupt the other night. You know how I feel about the power play. So that's not going to help either. So I think staying 5-on-5 as much as possible tomorrow is paramount for the Predators. If they start parading themselves to the penalty box again, I think we're going to see what we saw the other night, and it's not going to be pretty.
And there's going to be a collective groan inside Bridgestone Arena if that were to happen. For me, I agree on the discipline. I'll also say desperation. And it comes back to something that I said Wednesday afternoon with Floyd Reese as I was filling in for Jared Stillman that afternoon, that I thought the key to that game, that game four, was desperation and discipline, matching the Stars' desperation and playing with a lot more discipline. And they did neither of those in game four. And if they come out with desperation tomorrow, like their hair is on fire, like we've seen most of the time when their back is against the wall, they respond well to it, I would feel pretty comfortable about where this team could go the rest of this series. If they play with a lot more discipline and keep the Stars' power play unit, which hadn't gotten a lot of results in the first three games but showed their potential in game four, if they keep that unit off the ice a lot more than they have put that unit on the ice in the first four games, I feel a lot better about if they can win game five and then another game six or seven in this series.
Yeah, I think tomorrow is going to tell us a lot. You know, even if they lose tomorrow, but they play a really good game otherwise, you know, I'm not going to be hard on them. If they were to come out tomorrow and play a replica of Wednesday, you know, there isn't much more than I personally can say other than what I said in my story yesterday on The Athletic, which is basically the Predators got what they deserved the other night. Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to really learn a lot about this team. We know a lot about it, but I think we're going to learn even more tomorrow just based on what happens, just how they respond. Like I said, it doesn't need to be a win. I mean, it's obviously should be, you know, for the Predators' sake, it needs to be, you know, it should be a win. But if they play a really great game and lose, I'm confident that they can go to Dallas and tie the series up. Like, I know that at this time of the year, the effort is not as important as the results, but after what happened the other night, you know, effort is just as important, I think.
Do you feel like the Preds will get out of the series?
That's really tough to answer right now. Again, it all comes back to tomorrow. Like, if the Predators play like they did Wednesday tomorrow, they're not coming back to Bridgestone Arena. I think that series would end on Monday. But if they play a solid game regardless, and even if they lose, I think they can push it to seven. But I know the stats say that the winner of Game 5 wins nearly 80% of the time. Honestly, I can't give you an answer right now. Like, I know I'm copping out, but I need to see tomorrow.
You're copping out, Adam.
I need to see tomorrow. I really need to see what happens tomorrow. I really do. Because even if they win tomorrow, I'm not convinced they're going to win the series. You know, I just need to see what happens. I need to see what happens tomorrow. I really do.
For me to feel good about that question, I feel like they need to show a lot more of that fire in them than they showed in games 3 and 4.
Yeah.
In game 3, they survived because of number 35 between the pipes, and that was a fantastic effort out of 35. Game 4, I felt that was a pretty big red flag of what happened in the first period, that you would give up 4 goals in the first period. I know there are a lot of different circumstances that led to it, but the facts are the facts. The damage was done after 4-0. Thought that game was basically over, and the rest of the game didn't really mean that much in the long run.
No.
And if they come out with a ton of fire in them tomorrow with their backs against the wall, I do feel pretty good about them getting out of the series, because I think the two of us would both agree they are the better team. When you look at these two teams just pound for pound on paper, this Preds team is the better team. But as we see all the time in the playoffs, it's not always the better team that emerges from the first round or a second round series or what have you.
Yeah, we saw firsthand what that is like, thinking about what happened to Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh, and what's happening to Calgary right now. I mean, if the Flames lose tonight to Colorado, it'll be the first time ever that the top seeds in each conference were eliminated in the first round
ever?
Of the Stanley Cup playoffs, ever.
I did not realize that.
Ever. So it's been a crazy postseason. But the Predators have been a constant in the postseason for the last 5 years, and they've had their good times, they've had their bad times. You know, Wednesday was a bad time. They had a real bad time on Wednesday, but tomorrow I think is going to show not just myself and you, but the viewing public, just what this team really is capable of. If they can respond to Wednesday's debacle and play a really solid game, then you don't remember. You don't remember Wednesday. But if they lose and they end up losing this series, you're going to keep recalling that game on Wednesday for a really long time.
Adam Finkin of The Athletic, I appreciate it as always. Good stuff as always. Thanks for joining me here on Preds Insiders.
Always a pleasure, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
For Adam Finkin, I am Ryan Poore. Thank you for listening to Preds Insiders. Once again, our coverage tomorrow for Game 5 begins at 9 a.m. with the Chase McCabe Show, and it continues all the way up until puck drop at 2:20 inside Bridgestone Arena. Game 5, Preds Stars, all the coverage starting at 9. All live from Barrel House inside Bridgestone Arena. Thanks for listening to Preds Insiders. We'll talk to you tomorrow on ESPN 102.5 The Game.